Streaks of earth matted in her hair.
Hi, this is Tiffany the Last.
Mary Jane.
And we are outside the soda bar with
Jeremy Messersmith.
You're currently on your summer tour, the graveyard tour.
Yeah.
What graveyards have you hit up so far?
We hit up one in Minneapolis. We did kind of before we left, the Pioneers and Soldiers Cemetery. And then we hit up a few, one in Ohio, one in outside of Cincinnati, and another one in Indiana. But I don't remember the names of them off the top of my head. So we have them filmed, but I'll probably put them up on YouTube probably in the next couple weeks.
So did you record songs there? Or?
Yeah, so we did like a song in each. Yeah, and they ended up sounding pretty okay, I think.
Yeah?
Yeah, I don't know.
Did you have any supernatural experiences?
You know, I wish I could say that we did. It ends up being like just a really, really peaceful, sort of serene place to be. And especially like when you're just driving along like a highway or something like that, the best cemeteries are the ones that aren't like marked and don't really have like, you know, gates or anything. You just find like these little random ones that are really, really old and just kind of cool and creepy looking.
Well, actually, one of the people who are at the show here wanted to know, is there a particular food that your music gets its most inspiration from?
Yeah. It's funny because I think I wrote half of it while I was eating a falafel sandwich. I have this like one place I kind of like to go to in Minneapolis where I live, and it's just down the street, and they make great falafel sandwiches with, you know, the cucumber sauce and all that. All that stuff, and I think I probably wrote half the record while munching on one of their sandwiches. So, falafel. Falafel it is.
In one day?
What was that?
In one day? In one sitting?
Oh, no. Over various months of, me, you know, biking over there and then having lunch. Yeah. I wish one day. That'd be just great.
Your past three albums sort of had a theme to it, like life cycle. Is that something you want to explore more or do more themes with your music?
Yeah, I think so. It's always easier for me to write if I kind of like narrow the options a little bit. So, you know, if I write, you know, obviously The Reluctant Graveyard is kind of about death and dying and stuff. But if you kind of make your mind up before you start, then it just kind of makes it a lot easier. So I like the idea of writing records around a theme.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. And how did you find it writing a record about death and dying, being such a young person?
Well, I mean, yeah, I don't have like a whole lot of friends, you know, or acquaintances, or even family members who have died. But I guess it was just me sitting around going, what happens when I die? You know, like maybe, I don't know, maybe I'm slightly morbid, maybe slightly depressed, maybe a bit of both, but it just seemed like, wow, I should really spend some time thinking about that, and maybe thinking about that will maybe change the way I kind of live my own life. So I think it was more more that than maybe, you know, some specific thing I had to come to terms with.
Okay.
Do you have a certain song that you'd like played at your funeral?
Well, yeah, I mean, I don't know. I mean, there's a couple songs that I think would be pretty cool. Obviously, one would probably be Imagine, John Lennon. That's just kind of classic. The other one would probably be Life on Mars by David Bowie. I'd be pretty happy with either of those being played. Yeah. I mean, first and foremost, because they're just great songs, but, you know, then they're also kind of, you know, hopefully their epicness would describe my life. Maybe. It gives me something to shoot for, anyway.
All right, well, how about your Star Wars song? Where did that come from? Are you a big sci-fi person?
Yeah, I'm kind of a big sci-fi dork, geek, nerd, all that stuff. And I guess it just came about when, I don't know, I had this sort of, like, horrible thought that it was possible that I was never going to love anything as much as I loved Star Wars when I was a kid. And that just kind of scared me, and so I kind of wrote a song. I kind of wrote a song about it, you know? And I think I do love some things more, maybe. Hopefully I love some people more than I love Star Wars when I was a kid, but I don't know. It was a pretty all-consuming passion when I was, like, you know, 8. I just thought it was the most amazing thing ever.
Are you a Luke Skywalker or Han Solo?
Well, I'm definitely a Luke Skywalker. Of course, you know, we all want to be Han Solo, but no, I'm more the sort of dopey farm boy. Yeah, that's more me, probably.
Okay.
Than the more cosmopolitan, slick Han Solo.
My kids love the Star Wars song. I won't even try to pronounce it because they've already told me if I'm not a real true Star Wars person because I don't know how to pronounce the planet.
Tatooine?
Tatooine.
Yeah, that's it.
And
yeah.
My son wanted to know, do you have any Lego Star Wars sets?
Yeah, I do.
What's your favorite?
Well, I only have one Lego Star Wars thing, and it's actually just a Lego TIE fighter, which is the Imperial or bad guys sort of fighter ship with a little Darth Vader that, if you press the head, his like lightsaber like lights up and stuff, which is pretty cool. But I have like a few bins of like boxes full of Star Wars toys in my basement. But yeah, I try to keep the Legos down to a minor obsession.
When the sun's dead away, taught me everything I know. Twin sun's dead away, taught me everything I know. This room up there for second chances. Singles are fine, but doubles are fantastic. I'd like to think that there's a star for me and you, spinning round, falling for one another.
Well, speaking of things you can't say, I have a hard time pronouncing your last name. It's like a tongue twister, so can you say it like 5 times really fast?
Messersmith, 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 Messersmith. Oh, and the funny thing is I couldn't say it until I was 6. I was Jeremy Messer Pitt for a number of years. No, I wouldn't feel bad about that. It's kind of a mouthful. It's a little weird.
What's the origin?
Well, it's German, but it's German kind of passed through Ellis Island, you know, and, oh, it used to be Messerschmitt. Well, now you're Messersmith. Uh-huh. And, I think that was my great-great-grandparents. Sorry, great-grandparents who came over, I think, just a little before World War I. Yeah.
So what are you looking forward to after this tour wraps up?
Oh, what am I looking forward to after this tour wraps up? Well, I have to kind of get going and start work on another record kind of as soon as I get back. So I'm looking forward to that. And then also just, you know, my hammock at home sounds pretty nice. The cheapest pina colada mix I can find. And yeah, I think that would be just great.
Okay, so I have 3 silly questions I ask everyone wrap our interviews up.
Okay.
And the first is, do you have any slang terms that you overuse?
Slang terms that I use? No, I don't think so. Or not anything that
at
I think...
all?
I don't think that anybody would think is odd. I'm pretty like... I'm pretty straight, I guess, when it comes to hip vernacular.
You said smidgen in my text.
Oh, smidgen? Is that weird? Smidge? It's just a smidge. I don't know.
That's a cute one.
Oh, okay. Yeah, sure. I say smidge. Oh, man. That's not the kind of, like, streetwise slang I was hoping to come up with. But, yeah. I also say spendy, apparently. And I guess that's a kind of upper Midwest sort of regional thing to say spendy if something's expensive. I didn't realize that I had even picked that up. But I put it in a song and somebody wrote a review about it. And they were like, he even uses the upper Midwest spendy instead of expensive. And I was like, oh, I had no idea what was happening to me. It depends where I'm at, but if the bartender, if he really knows, he or she really knows what they're doing, then I'll just take an old fashioned. And I don't know if it's just from watching Mad Men, but I have a friend, Pip, who's a bartender back in Minneapolis, and he just makes a great old fashioned, and I love drinking them. If I can't trust the bartender, then I'll usually just go for a White Russian, the Big Lebowski. Mm-hmm. Can't really go too wrong with that. You can't really mess it up. It's just kind of sweet and delicious. And even a bad one is still really good.
So is that what you'll be ordering tonight?
We'll see. I'll probably be like, hey, do you make a good old fashioned? If they're like, sure, then I'll give it a try. But otherwise, yeah, White Russian.
Okay. And how do you feel about eyeliner?
I think I'm generally okay with it. I guess, do you mean on like everyone, or like just on women, or
that's however you want to answer it?
Yeah, I'm cool with it on whoever. Guyliner, sure. I don't think I've ever really worn it, but I'd like to think that I have an open mind and would be open to the possibility if it became super trendy and I needed to fit in, that I would also be wearing guyliner. Sure, why not?
A smidge of guyliner.
It's just a smidge, as long as it's not too spendy. And, that'll be great.
Okay.
All right.
Awesome.
And our website's piratepods.com. Could you give us your best pirate impression?
Yar, matey! This is Jeremy Messersmith.
That's not a bad pirate.
Like, that's a great
okay.
one.
All right.
That's awesome.
Oh, yeah. From deep within. Well done.
Daylight streaming on my face, prognosis look